Ephesians chapter 5 again, if you would please. We're going to continue talking about the family. And last week we talked about the husband and the father and the duties and characteristics and things that a husband and a father should be. And tonight we're going to talk about the wives and or mothers and what they're supposed to be as far as what God's word has to say about it. And listen, it's good for us to cast aside what the world has to say or think about what a woman or what a man or what a husband or a wife or a mother or a father is supposed to be, and go with what God says those entities are supposed to be. And that's why we're studying this, and to make sure that we have the right ideology and philosophy concerning the family according to the Word of God. And that's what's most important. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we will take a look at Ephesians chapter 5 and into chapter 6. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. As I begin in verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, you understand that there are, besides these principles that we're going to talk about, the specific characteristics that God says should be found in a husband and a father, should be found in a mother and a wife, should be found in children. Please understand that there are also things, and really they're all kind of separate but together, okay? Because we're all Christians, right? Those of us that are born again, we are all male and female, part of the family of God. So please, I don't know if I adequately stated this 2 weeks ago, but I do want to reiterate or iterate in the first place, we all should follow the Christian characteristics that are for Christians, right? Walking in the Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the flesh,
somebody have to exhume me if I get killed and bring me up out of the ground.
Coming out of you. We'll just do that. I think it's exuding, right? Is that the word? Yeah, to exude something. It's a cool word, you know. It's like one of those $20 college words. To give off these things of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, patience, you know, all these things. Those are all true, right? We should be holy as unto the Lord because he's holy. We should be righteous. We should have all of that. Husbands should have that. Wives should have that. Mom should have that. Dad should have that. Children should have. We should all have those things, obviously, okay? But in the family unit, beyond those things, husbands are supposed to be what they're supposed to be, how God created them as far as the head of the wife, the head of the household, doing the specific tasks and purposes that a husband is supposed to be responsible for.
And likewise, as we look tonight, the women are responsible for these things. Now, I want to also say that in no way, shape, or form, am I trying to say that you know, men can only do this and women can only do that. It's not about ability. It's about what we're built to do. What we're created by God to be. Okay? Because listen, the world has this whole mentality that, well, you say I can't do this, but I can. Well, okay, you might have the ability, but let me just say this, maybe you're not supposed to do that. Okay? And you say, well, who are you to tell me I'm not supposed to? Well, I'm not telling you you're not supposed to. God is telling you you're not supposed to. Okay? So, it's just a matter, and by the way, that's rebellion in its truest form. We as mankind often rebel against what God created us to be. You understand? We were created in the image of God. We were created to be, if you will, without sin, yet man chose to sin. So we're not supposed to experience hell, but yet man is going to experience hell if they don't trust Christ as their Savior. So there's a lot of things, if you will, that I could do, but I shouldn't because I'm a man. And there's a lot of things that women can do, but they probably shouldn't because God created them to be a woman and to do certain things and to be a mother and do certain things. And just like I'm created to be a father and do certain things. By the way, I have to tell my sons many times, I get a little sarcastic. I know you can't really believe that. But I do that from time to time. Though I do it all the time. Who am I kidding? My sons, I'll look at them and I'll just look at them and they do something. I'm like, who died and made you the father? I'm like, you maybe have the, if you will, you think you have the physical ability to tell your sisters what to do. I said, but you don't have the authority. I haven't given you that authority to do that. That's not your place to make them do this or make them do that. I never gave you that authority. And that's not your place to do that. You know, you may think that you can, you know, grab a hold of the arm of one of your sisters and bring them over to this trash can and say, take out this trash. But I'm going to beat your hide for it because that's not your job. That's my job. And so, folks, there are things that we can or can't do. By the way, don't worry about it. Punishing your children is a Bible thing there. So we'll get to that next week. And I'm sure that's not going to be very popular on Facebook, but I really don't care. there are things that are not under our purview as far as what God has said or not said that we're supposed to be. And so, ladies, I want the best for you. So this is in no way critical, me being critical of women or what God has created a woman to do or to be. I want to encourage you of what the Bible says you can be your best at doing and being a part of your family, being a part of your children, your husband's lives, and to receive the honor and the blessings of God in your life. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go over to Colossians. We will refer back to the text here tonight many times. But in Colossians chapter 3, we have another excerpt here about wives. And again, it has some specific topics associated with that. Here in Colossians 3, look at verse 18. And by the way, I just want to, let's go back a few verses. And I want you to see this here, that it's not just the wives, if you will, but we all should be like this in our spirit, if you will, a spirit of submission. We should be, men and women and children should all be submitted to Christ. And that's certainly a thing. Look what it says here in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So please understand that in the context, this is all a positive thing of us submitting to God, of us doing things in Christ's name, of us admonishing one another, all of these things. And then it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And then it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So all of these things, and then, by the way, it goes on to talk about servants and masters and all these things. But look what it says in verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And that includes the wives submitting, the husbands loving their wives, the children obeying, the servants obeying, in singleness of heart. All these, they're all connected together because the attitude is to be unto the Lord. And so, wives, as you work with your husbands, and ladies, as it says back in the text, reverence your husband, submit yourself to your own husband. These are all things that are pleasing to God. And you ought to be doing it not just unto him, but as unto the Lord. Because God is the one that we ultimately serve. Okay? And the physical human relationships that we have here are just a picture of that. Because think about this. We've often said that if you're not right with God, how can you be right with mankind, right? And if you're not right with mankind, how can you be right with God? And so those things, it's connected. And so certainly, we should follow these things as we see what is to happen. Go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to get into the actual things here in just a moment. I'm trying to set the stage, if you will, the platform of things with the scripture. So Genesis chapter 2, it's a good thing to do in scripture to go back where things are first mentioned. All right? And so we can zip all the way back to creation because that's the first time that we're introduced to mankind, first of all, right? And we're introduced to the first man, and we're introduced to the first woman. And this is where God first puts these two together to become a unit. And then, of course, in chapter 3, we see the children come along, etc., right? Chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see that happen. All these things in Genesis here. But look at chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And so, ladies, this is what your primary function is in life. To be a help meet for man. That's what God designed you to do. I mean, think about this. Look at the next verse here. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. So God formed every single creature, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam. He named them, and there was a compatibility test given, okay? And none of them were compatible. None of them were a helpmeet for Adam. And so God says, this is what I'm going to do. And look at the next verse. He says here, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And so You understand, this is the first experience we have with this particular unit. We have man and we have woman, and this is what God has created, okay? So, if we use this for the basis of things, please understand that the woman is to be a help meet for the husband, for the man. And I love what Paul says, your own husband, right? So ladies, just as much as it says that a pastor or a deacon should be the husband of one wife, okay? You should have one husband, ladies, okay? And you should be subject to him, right? Not subject to somebody else's husband, but subject to him because he's your husband, all right? I don't expect any of you ladies in here to be subject to me. I think that's an unreasonable expectation, all right? Now, as your pastor, I expect some subjection, if you will, to a point, but I'm not your husband, all right? You all have your own husbands, and I think you should be subject to them, okay? And because that's the biblical design of it, and that's what God has said that we should do. So, as we have set the table for this, that's going to be the best way that a family unit works, is when the wife is a help meet. Okay? That word meet is an interesting word. You need to understand that when something is meet, that means it's compatible. That means it's ready to be used. Remember we talked about this before? Meet for the master's use, right? The vessels of honor, vessels, and those types of things. It means it's ready to be used. It's available. It's there for the using. And so when something is a helpmeet, that means it's good for me. It's, if you will, it's something I can use. It's something I can work along with. It's going to be something that's going to be usable in my hands, not unusable. You know, it's a sad thing when a husband and a wife can't get along. When they can't work together, when one wants to, if you will, be over the other, and there's not no togetherness. Now, let me just say this. I'm not advocating tyranny or dictatorship, okay? But listen to me. If your husband has an idea, and it might be the most ridiculous thing, but if he's just set on doing it, then you should be a helpmeet. You say, well, it's going to blow up in his face. Well, then it blows up in his face and he'll learn his lesson. But you don't need to be the obstacle there. You need to be the helpmeet. And so we have to realize that submission is submission. And it only matters that we do our part. Let me give you a bit of an example. I often tell children, you're not the authority. And if the authority does something wrong, it's not your job to tell them that they're wrong. Okay? This is not the right thing to do. We need to go to the proper authority, and that's how things need to, there needs to be a proper way of doing things, okay? So, like we had a rule in our handbook that, fighting was against the rules. Okay? And so, I would tell the kids, look, if you go out and somebody provokes you and says something to you, you're not supposed to go fight them and make them understand that they're wrong and, you know, they push you, you push them back. Your job is to, if they push you, you go tell the authority, and the authority takes care of it because that's their job. I said, if you take it into your own hands and push them back, then now you're in trouble for fighting. He said, well, that's not fair. Well, it may not be fair, but that's the rule. Okay? Because I've told you, if somebody pushes you or if somebody calls you a name, then you need to go tell the authority, and the authority will enact the judgment on that child, not you. That's not your job to do that. And so, we've got to understand that we are all given jobs, and the husbands are the head of the Lord, or excuse me, are the head of the wife. As the Lord is the church, they're given a place of authority. And wives are supposed to submit themselves unto their own husbands. And I love what Paul says. He says, as is fit in the Lord. So it gives a reason why you should do that. And why you should submit yourselves to those things. We understand that if we do these things that the scripture says, we will be blessed. And that's all we want is the blessings of God, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our families, in our relationships, and the lives of our church. We all want the blessings of God, and the blessings of God will come when we follow the correct procedure that God has set forth. Okay? So let's look at a few of these different characteristics as we go down these things. Now, go over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 27, Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And by the way, as we look at all these things, I want you to realize that there are many, many examples of women and mothers in the Bible. Some are good examples and some are bad examples. Okay? So, and by the way, there are many examples of fathers and husbands in the Bible. Some are good examples. And some are bad examples, okay? But we have the examples that we need to see in Scripture of how these things are supposed to be. So here's one. A godly woman, a godly mother, and a godly wife is a woman who is humble, obedient to God, and loving. All right? This is look at Luke 10:27 here. It says, this is of course for all Christians, but we know these are, we'll talk about another passage of scripture here, but Jesus saying to this man who asked him a question, he said, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And so you understand that as we ladies, as we try to be the best wife and the best mother that we can, I'm not a wife. You need to be humble, obedient, and loving. We know that the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We know that the text that we read, that the wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so we see that is true. And so the wives are supposed to be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, if a husband is the right kind of husband, he's not going to be hard to follow, ladies. Because he's going to be doing things according to biblical principles, according to the things that God has set up. And by the way, if a husband is not that, God will take care of him. If you will honor your husband, even if he's not honorable, then God will bless you and he'll take care of your husband. That's a biblical principle. Remember David? Was Saul doing the right thing? No, he was chasing David around, trying to kill him for no reason. All right? Now, David honored the man that God chose for his people. And remember the time he went in and he cut the garment, right? He immediately was smote to his heart because he shouldn't have done that. He said, well, he didn't hurt him. No, but that was a disrespectful thing. And he should have never have done that because it wasn't his place to do that. And you know what? So you ought to pray for your husband. If he's not the right kind of man, then pray for him and try to be the kind of wife that is the right kind of wife so that he'll become the right kind of man. See, these things all work together. And they work together for the best that we have. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We know this is where the Bible gives us information about what it takes to be a pastor. And what it takes to be a deacon in the local church. But if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, there's another element added to the wives of deacons, if you will. Here in verse 11, it says this. It says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. So not only are deacons supposed to be an example of holiness, an example of sincerity, an example of a Christian, but their wives are supposed to be an example to the others in the church. So that's important information to have in our Bibles about our lives and what we're supposed to be in the home. So please understand, all these things are true, that we need to put these things together to become what God wants us to become. Go over to Proverbs 31. You kind of know where I'm going with this, but there's a great list here of things that a woman should look forward to being and becoming, if you will. Give some details of some of these characteristics. We know that a godly woman and a godly mother needs to be a good Christian. That we already talked about that. And needs to be in submission to her own husband and a good helpmeet. Okay? A helpmeet. And to stay, if you will, in her place as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother. But look here at the beginning of Proverbs 31. It starts out with it says the words of King Lemuel. It says the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, here's another thing, and we're going to get to this in Titus, but mothers are supposed to be good teachers of children. And I'm not talking about like just homeschooling and things like that. Mothers, it is for you to be that teaching arm or that teaching example to your children. And how to behave, the things that they should know, all of those types of things, it needs to come from the mother. This is an interesting thing. I hope you've thought about this. But it doesn't say the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his father taught him. Right? It says the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, this is interesting. And we're going to get into a little bit this next time we talk about children. But moms, this is a mom that taught her son what his wife should be like. You know, moms, you ought to direct your sons what they ought to be looking for in a woman. To be their wife, right? And guess what? If you're going to do that, you've got to know what to be yourself. So obviously, King Lemuel's mother was a pretty amazing woman. I'm just gonna step out on the strongest limb in the world and say that, because there's no fear in there of it falling apart. Think about it. If she taught him these things about a woman, that's probably the kind of woman she was. And the things that she told him about, she says, "What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows?" This is a pretty strong lady. I like it. She is putting this king, this young man, to the test and saying, "Look, you better pay attention to me." That's what all these "whats" are. That's what it means. Okay. She's saying to him, "Look," she says, "give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." So she says, "Look, don't give in to these things." And by the way, I didn't put this in the message tonight because it's just too much information. But do you understand that when Solomon got all tangled up with all those women, that's when his heart was turned away from God? Okay? So I that's exactly what she's saying to him. She says, "Look, don't get involved with a whole bunch of women, because that's not for kings. That's not for you to be a part of." By the way, as we go down here in verse 10, she says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" That's one. That's a singular article, right? And so please understand, she's trying to direct him in the right path. So here's some things about this virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. So in verse 11, you understand that this is reemphasizing that she is a helpmeet to her husband, that she is submissive to her husband, that he can trust her. There is no cause of worry or fear or any kind of anxiety that she is not going to be on his side, that she is not going to be there to be a help to him, that she is not going to be available, that she's not going to be ready to be there. Those are all things that she is because his heart safely trusts in her. There's no question. And she's done nothing to make him question about those things. And ladies, that's what your job is for your husband. There needs to be no doubt at all that he can safely trust in you. He shall have no need of spoil. It says in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And by the way, let me just say this. Husbands, there's no way that we should do our wives evil. Okay? And so ladies, I'm not just asking you not to do that. I'm also telling guys not to do that as well. Okay? But it says here that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So ladies and young ladies, as you may one day become a wife, and ladies, those of you that are wives, there should never be a time that you have a passing fancy or a passing thought to do evil unto your husband. You say, "What? Why?" Well, because that's a Bible characteristic of a virtuous woman. All right? By the way, we shouldn't have that in our own relationships with our church family, with people, right? We're not... If you have a problem with your brother or sister in Christ, you're supposed to go to him and get it resolved, right? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Folks, we're supposed to make these relationships right. And so this is another characteristic that we need to display in the family. And then it says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's one working to provide for her household. She's not lazy. She's working. She's doing the things that she needs to do and to be that help meet. OK, so think about this. Adam was given a job, right? He was supposed to tend to the garden, all the things in it. And Eve was there to help him to do those things. All right. And so I shouldn't be lazy as a husband. Right. And my wife shouldn't be lazy as a wife. We should both be diligent. By the way, does that fit in line with what we're supposed to be as Christians? Zealous and diligent, hardworking, not lazy, because we know that if we get to a place of complacence and apathy and laziness, That's all giving place to the devil. And the devil has no place in our families, has no place in our homes, has no place in our lives. And so that's laziness is something we all need to avoid. But ladies, you need to be busy about these things in your household. By the way, it's for the benefit of your household. If your husband has provided, like he's supposed to, the things that you need, then you're supposed to take those things and do something with them. Okay? And so she's busy. Her hands are busy. Her mind is busy. She's doing these things. And I love what it says in verse 13. And worketh willingly. See, nobody's making her do it, ladies. She's doing it because she wants to. She wants to be that completer, that helpmeet for her husband. Her husband is not taking oversight over her with a, you know, with a, a chair and a whip saying, yeah, you know, get to it. You know, this is not the picture of that at all. It's a willing thing that is being done because she wants to do it. I love what it says. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. If you just picture that, right? I mean, the ships come in, right? Now, when the ships would come into port, there was an amazement about it. You know, I wonder what's going to be on it next, you know? And to me, this is what it's, I don't know if this is a theological thing or not, if it's just me. You know how I think about things and how strangely I think about things. But think about this. It says she bringeth her food from afar. I just think about the excitement, you know, when the husband says, what's for dinner? You know? And there's a clamor. You know, there's an excitement. I wonder what's going to be under that cover, you know? Wow, that's amazing, you know? That's kind of what I think about when I think about that statement, right? And by the way, my wife does this often, and she'll make something new. And you know what? I'll just be honest. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. I'm not going to be rude to her. I think you asked me about something the other day. She says, you know, was this? And I said, yeah, it was fine. I said, but I like things like a little better, like this way. And now, listen, I try to say it in a nice way, not to be rude, but you know, because we want to work together and not have problems and things like that. But I want you to realize that there's a creativity, there's a diligence. There's a desire to please that's built into this, because this is a virtuous woman. This is a woman that is taking the characteristics. By the way, if you think about our lives as Christians and wanting to do something as unto the Lord, you know, we want to do something for God that's extravagant, that's great, right? That's amazing, because we're like merchant ships bringing our food from afar. You know, it's an exciting thing. It's an endeavor that a journey that we've gone on, and it's something that's of value. It's something of excitement, and so that's what needs to happen in with a wife and how she deals with her husband and with her household. In verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. This again speaks to the hard work, the sacrifice, the diligence that she puts forth for her household. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. So she's resourceful. She sees ahead and plans for these things. And they're a benefit or a profit to her household. And by the way, we'll go back to the verse that it says that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I think that it pertains to these things too. She knows that he knows that she's not going to go and just waste all their money on frivolous things that aren't of any value and are going to just waste away, but that she's going to be productive with what she's been given. A management to help oversee and to help to help do in the household and these things. By the way, the field is bought, the fruit of her hand, she planted the vineyard. That's going to produce not only for her family, but also perhaps be something that they can sell and have profit and benefit to their household. It says she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Now, we do know that the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Okay? So, I would rather have a godly, strong woman, a woman that's godly, her strength is in godliness, right? Than a physically strong woman. Okay? I'd rather have the spiritually strong than the physically strong. Okay? But why can't you have both? Right? And I'm sure that wives, you'd like to say that about your husbands, right? By the way, that does pertain, okay? But listen, it says here that she's physically fit. By the way, that's a great thing. Okay, I mean, I could be more physically fit. I really could. All right. Now, I'm just not, because I'm lazy. Okay, because this is my exercise, right? Coffee, donut. I mean, that's my exercise, and I probably should correct that. And that's a good thing to do. Now, but it says here that she girdeth her loins with strength, and she strengtheneth her arms. So this is a verse in the Bible. It talks about a woman being a physical specimen, if you will. She's strong. She's working at strengthening herself. And so, ladies, you ought to do that. And you say, well, you men should do it too. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. We should, okay? But I know that specifically, it says that this virtuous woman does this. So that's all I can present to you, okay? Go on. It says here that she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. I love this verse about this. Ladies, you ought to know that you have great value to your husband and great value to your household. And your merchandise is good. And you ought, so this to me speaks of like that thing of, you know, self-esteem and self-worth. Don't let anybody tell you you're worthless. Because you're not. A good woman is more precious than rubies. Your merchandise is good. And God says it's good. So don't let somebody say, and by the way, I'm trying to be careful. Ladies, I understand that you're emotional creatures. God made you that way. Okay? And sometimes you are your own worst enemy. You tell yourself that you're not worth anything. You make yourself feel like you're not of any value. And I'm just going to say, as your pastor and as a husband myself, don't do that. Because you are valuable. You are worth something. It is good. So am I safe doing that? Am I going to get any things, rotten things thrown at me or anything like that? Okay. But don't let yourself tell yourself that. Because it's not true. You are of value. You do have, your merchandise is good. And it says her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. This is talking about the making of clothing and cloth and those types of things. You understand those tools of the trade. And it says she stretches out her hand to the poor. There's great compassion and worth of others and caring for others. By the way, this extends to her husband. This extends to her children, but also to others that are out and about. She's willing to help. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Okay, so she's made preparations. She's taken care of these things. By the way, my wife is really good at this. I hope you don't understand. I'm trying to get lots of extra points tonight. I'm trying to do a good job. No, she does. Well, we have. She's super organized. I'm pseudo organized. Okay, super pseudo. All right. I'm like an amoeba with a false foot, you know. But anyways, I'm a one-celled organism. Woo! Okay. She's so organized. We have totes of clothing, and they're organized, you know, spring and summer and winter, the different sizes, you know, 0 to 3, you know, because we have to have all categories in our house, etc. But you know, the other day they brought home, I don't know, what was it, like 15 totes of clothing or something like that? Not that many. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating. All right, like 12, okay, or 9, I don't know, whatever it was. But so what she does is she brings home the clothing for the wintertime, and then they put away all the summertime clothes into those, and they pull out all the wintertime clothes and do a clothing exchange. You know, then the totes go away into the storage. But that's a wonderful thing. But you know what that takes? It takes organization, it takes planning, it takes forethought to actually think about that. And it says here that she's not afraid of it because she knows she's taken care of that. She's planned for it and done it ahead of time. It says she maketh fine linen and selleth it. Here's that merchandising again. Delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So we talked about the strength thing already, right? The honor comes from a life lived honorably. Okay, so this is evident to all those around because they can see it. And ladies, you have that opportunity. And God wants you to have that opportunity to receive that honor and receive that rejoicing in time to come. And by the way, it's something you build up. It's not something you just get automatically. It comes from a life lived to be honored that way. Now, in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. These are things that we all need to work on, of course. But I want to say just a gentle word to you ladies. It's hard in the emotions of things to be quiet, to not say something you shouldn't say. Because we all get worked up, right? We all let emotions get the best of us. But a lot of times, ladies have more of a difficulty with this than gentlemen do, all right? Just because of our makeup, how God made us. We know that men are kind of, if you will, rational beings. Women are emotional beings, okay? That's just a simple truth. Now, please understand, there's a big spectrum of men, okay? I've known some men that are pretty emotional, okay? And I've known some women that are pretty rational, which I understand there's a spectrum, okay? But in general, that's the case. All right, so it says here, though, that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So these are attributes that God says are of a virtuous woman. That has to do with, and this lady particularly, is a wife, and she is a mother. All right, we know that because of the text. All right, so as we move along here, that these things are true with how she speaks to her husband, to her family, and to those in her community. So I like what it says here, that when she opens her mouth, she opens it with wisdom. Now we understand that wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's what I like to call wisdom, okay? So you have knowledge, you know something, and then you apply it, right? It's something you do. And then it says it's the law of kindness. So there's something that rules her speaking. So in other words, it's kind of like what my mom used to teach me, right? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, okay? My mom taught me that. My dad didn't teach me that. My mom did, okay? Now, that makes sense, doesn't it, right? So it's a law. It's something that governs something else. That's a law, right? And so this is how she deals with the words of her mouth. We know that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart should be acceptable to who? To God, right? And so this woman operates this way. It says in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now this has been addressed before about laziness and being idle. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and that's how she handles herself. And then verse 28, some of the reaping of the benefits of these things. It says here that her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Okay? This is a great thing. And by the way, this is true. If a husband lives and does the things he's supposed to do in a household, so is it for a woman who does and is the things that she's supposed to be in her household. Is that will come with honor and praise and reward. If we don't, and if we're not what we're supposed to be, there are going to be some consequences to that. And you know what? You may not like me as a person, but I am the pastor. And that title comes with a certain respect and honor. Now, can I make that a difficult thing for you? I can by my behavior, right? But I can also make it an easy thing for you because of my behavior, right? So can a woman, a wife, a mother, so can a father and a husband. You can either help or hurt it. It is a place of honor. It is a place and a position of respect. But sometimes we make it hard to respect. And sometimes we make it hard to honor because of how we deal with things in our own selves. Okay? It says here, though, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her own hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So, as we kind of close things down, I promise you, I could go on for another hour at least. But let me link some of this together here, okay? Proverbs 1, verse 8 through 10. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's what Solomon said. And it has to do with the law of the mother. Okay? Remember it says her mouth is the law of kindness. Listen, there's some things that just govern us. And our mothers are to be that for us, if you will. There's certain things that they teach us, that they give to us, they pass on to us, that they emulate for us in their own lives. That's what a mother is. In Titus, I mentioned this before, but I want to read it out loud. In verse 3, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay? Now, that's where we're going to kind of, as far as the Bible verses go, that's what we're going to end on. But I just want to read to you this. I got a whole bunch of lists. I got like all kinds of lists here. Okay? Now, let me just go through these. We've read the verses, and there's more verses to read, but I don't have time for that. But I just want to go through this. So, these are different various characteristics, and I may repeat some of these because they came from different places. But I want to give these to you, okay? A godly woman, a godly mother, a godly wife, she raises children, she shows hospitality, she's a servant, she's modest and humble, she's submissive, she teaches what's good, she loves children, she loves her husband, she has self-control, she's a keeper at home, she's kind, she's thankful, she loves God first, she has unconditional love, faithfulness, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, teaching God's word, wisdom, prayerfulness, a servant's heart, joy, generosity, forgiveness, honesty, humility, sacrifice, purity of heart, hope. She encourages others. She has virtue, courage, discernment, hospitality, faith, love for God, love for others, righteousness. She practices self-control. I think I said that one already. She cares for her household. She's hospitable. She practices modesty. She produces good works. She speaks with wisdom and kindness. She submits to her husband. She's teachable. She's hardworking and sacrificial. She's trustworthy and honest. She's led by the word of God and not the world. She's a woman who is humble, obedient to God and loving. She's a woman who is willing to sacrifice her own desires for the sake of others. She's a woman who is prayerful and who seeks to know and to do God's will. She's a woman who is modest in her dress and her behavior. She's a woman who is careful in her thoughts and in her actions. She's a woman who is a good role model for other women. She's a woman who is always learning and growing in her own faith. She's a woman who is an example of God's grace to those around her. She's a woman who works on forgiveness toward others. And she's a woman who values God's opinion above all others. And she is a helpmeet to her husband. And so all of these things are what a godly mother, a godly wife, a godly woman should be and should be in her household. And ladies, look, there may be some things in this whole barrage or potpourri of things that I've said tonight that you're good at. And you, if you will, you're kind of like what King Lemuel's mother said about a virtuous woman, that you excel in these areas. And there may be some areas of things that I mentioned tonight that you're not as good at. And can I just say to you and encourage you, you can work on those things. And you can develop those things. Just like men need to work on and develop things that they're supposed to be for their households, you ladies can likewise work on these things that you may be falling short in. Now, gentlemen, I have access to many different books that can help a husband and a father be a better husband and father. And they're written by authors that use the principles that I've already talked about from the Word of God. Ladies, I have access to a lot of helpful material written by godly women who take these principles and try to help people understand what it is to be a godly woman, a godly mother, so that they can fulfill what God has designed. And let me just go back to what as we close, what Titus says. It just says that all of this is to be and to take place that the word of God be not blasphemed. The devil loves to make a mockery of what God has created. God has ordained the family unit to be a successful thing. Husbands should be successful in what they're supposed to do. Fathers are supposed to be successful in what they're supposed to do and be. Mothers should be successful in what their accomplishment is to be. Wives, you should be successful because God wants us to be successful. And next week, Chitlins, we're going to get to you. Okay? That's the children, okay? Now, and so all of these things, think on these things, consider these things. If you want to know some of these more of these references, I'll be glad to share them with you. But let me just tell you, this Bible is full of not only principles and characteristics, but it's full of examples. And some are, like I said before, some are good examples and some are, if you will, bad examples. In other words, we should say, okay, that's a good example, I should follow that. Oh, that's a bad example, I shouldn't be like that. They're both for our admonition. And they're both for our encouragement. So think on these things tonight as we go to Lord in prayer.